Hey, what's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today's episode revolves around fishing piers. Well, fishing piers are a magnet for sharks, and we often see that these bites happen very close to these fishing piers, mainly here in Florida on the East Coast in an area of Volusia County. I will get into Volusia a little bit later. So, why fishing piers? Well, whenever you hook a fish, the fish most likely releases stress hormones to warn other fish. It releases feces, loses scales. So all these bodily fluids and matters, they will be carried with the current. So should a shark happen to be in that very current and pick up the stress hormones or other fluidly matter, it will most likely swim against that current to find the source. Should you happen to be in the water downcurrent of a fishing pier, meaning with the current from the fishing POA, and frolic, create non-rhythmical sound patterns, chances are that you're very interesting for a shark because you may smell like something it knows because you're surrounded by this chum tail, and you may sound like something he knows. Most of the time, it won't be enough, and as soon as the shark sees you, he will pass or swim off. But the visibility is often quite low around these fishing piers, so chances are the shark won't even see you until it's very close. And a shark with a very, very low threshold might still apply a bite. Most of the time, these bites, of course, are very superficial, and we call them exploratory bite. So you would say this is a problem that can easily be fixed, right? We just close fishing piers for sport fishermen. Well, that would not work because of the fishing lobby. And so if we say, well, okay, we restrict fishing until 10 a.m. in the morning and starts again at 1800s, 6 p.m., again in evening hours, same thing, you restrict sport fishing. Well, then we could say, go the other way around and say, okay, sport fishing happens the whole day, so we are only allowed to swim upcurrent. Well, there as well, same problem, upcurrent, downcurrent, we would restrict the activities of the beachgoing people. So it is really a big problem. There is another problem, of course. If we would create some restrictions for sport fishermen, for swimmers, we would admit, or the municipalities would admit, that we do that because of the presence of sharks. So mentioning sharks close to a beach is normally not a good way to attract tourists. And of course, there is something else. Of course, a shark bites a person. You never hear why a shark did it, only that it did it. So even a superficial bite, which really is no big deal, will, with the correct headline, be very devastating for the sharks. So fishing piers are a big problem. But why can't we just really go ahead and put in some restrictions? I mean, we have restrictions for swimming with whales, which I think is pretty ridiculous. I go to the Azores quite often when I teach a blue shark workshop, and we see big whales left and right. But you're only allowed to get as close as a few hundred meters. In the same token, you're allowed to jump in with dolphins. So does this mean the dolphin is less stressed than these several ton animal that we see from afar? I mean, come on, you know, if a whale decides to get away from us, well, he does that pretty quickly. So these rules, I don't really understand. So, but if we really would have or accept that there must be the same restrictions for whales as for sharks, we would have, or we would be able to put on boards that say, well, please refrain from swimming here because sharks are milling, go elsewhere, something like that. And, well, we all know that would never fly. So anyway, it's pretty ridiculous. Well, nevertheless, there is some progress when it comes down to conservation of sharks. And the fishing is a little bit restrictive with what you can pull in. For example, some of the sharks, like great hammerheads, you're not allowed to drag them on a beach in order to take your pics because the animal is very stressed and could actually die. But nevertheless, I see left and right people pulling great hammerheads out of the water onto the beach to take their pictures. Although they would be fined, well, if there are no controllers out there, no police out there, well, most of the time they just get away with it. So we really have to enforce the law here a little better. Some limitations, some reduction, not just what you're allowed to pull onto the beach, could go a long way, because every bite that does not occur is a headline less against sharks. But fishing, sport fishing, is a huge thing in the United States. The total amount of spending money on sport fishing related issues for the entire US, like, you know, fishing gear, licensing and such, is around $46 billion per year. $46 billion per year. So it's like a holy cow that you cannot really attack it and say, well, you're not allowed to fish here anymore, and that's that. So that wouldn't work. Anyway, let's go back to the fishing pier as such. Bites do most of the time occur because of the constellation of factors. So what is a constellation of factor? What it means is whenever several factors come together, the risk of an encounter that may lead to a bite is increased. So what are these factors around fishing piers? I just mentioned it a little bit before, but let's go here into the details. First and foremost, it's the type of fish, odor, and chum trail that you create. This is a fish. Chum trail is really the most potent attractant for any shark. Of course, that a chum can be carried away, it needs a current, but that is hardly a problem because very often we have tidal currents due to incoming outgoing tides. In addition to, because the waves break close to shore, sandbars, we have very often low or considerably low visibility. So people want to even see the sharks and vice versa. And then, of course, people who are swimming, frolicking, hang out in water, they often create arrhythmical sound patterns. Don't get me wrong, when there are breaking waves close by, these sound patterns hardly are an issue. I mean, the shark can hardly hear them. But if there is no breaking waves, chances are a shark can hear the sounds produced by us. So a shark may hear us, smell the fish trail, comes closer, and he sees us. Well, we definitely do not match his search image because the shark was assuming a type of fish because of the smell, because of the sound pattern, and now he sees us. So chances are the shark will just take off and not even come closer. But once in a while, you have a shark who just tries to make sure that what he smells, what he hears, is definitely not prey. And he does what we call an exploratory bite, a very superficial bite. But in the news, you will then not read a superficial bite was caused by a shark at some beach. You just read shark attack. So it doesn't matter why it happened, only that it happened. And of course, very often we just live by sensationalism. For example, Volusia County in Florida, which has the most shark bites every year, it's dubbed shark attack capital of the world, which of course is rather questionable. Why? Because we did some studies. I mean, we studied shark bites in Florida and the rest of the United States East Coast. And there's an area in South Carolina where the chances to get bitten is eight times higher than in Volusia County. If you like to have that paper, drop me a note and I'm sending it to you. The paper's called An Estimation of Shark Attack Risk for the North and South Carolina Coast, and we published that in the Journal of Coastal Research. The big problem I see very often is that people assume the area with the most bites by number is also the most, quote-unquote, dangerous area as such. Well, of course, whenever you have more bites than elsewhere, chances are you have more people in the water. Maybe there are other effects of bringing more sharks. So you cannot just go out there and say, okay, because here we have the most bites, hence it must be the most dangerous area. Whenever you create some scale of less dangerous, more dangerous, if you really want to use the word dangerous, you have to make sure you understand how you weigh this number of bites. There are still quite a few people out there who consider themselves expert in shark bites, who believe that, again, as the absolute number of bytes is proven off for an area, ignoring, or rather not able to comprehend, that it also matters how many people are in the water during the respective times of the bytes and in between. But this is a problem that I will discuss in another episode of Let's Talk Shark. So how dangerous is it now really to be close to a fishing pier? Well, it's not dangerous at all, of course. We have really not that many bytes, and they're just publicized over and over, so you assume that we have bytes left and right. Whenever you're close to a fishing pier, just go up current. Just follow your own rules. Should you be close to the sandbar, on the sandbar, look around. If you can't see the bottom, just swim back to shore. Just be proactive what you do out there with the sharks. And if you just look around, chances are you will even see the animal. The good thing is, most of the time, as soon as the shark sees us, it will take off. So whatever you do, just be a little bit aware that sharks could be there as well. Okay, that's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege.